If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please make a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for including Issues Etc. in your year-end giving. The whole world rejoices. Of course, not everyone in the world is rejoicing for the same reason, but during the Christmas season, church has set aside this time for unrestrained rejoicing at Jesus' birth. It's coupled with the praise of the child who lies in the manger, who's born of the Virgin. But this child has been given to all mankind. He has been given to all creation. He is the Creator, and yet he comes as a man to redeem creation and fallen mankind. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this third day of Christmas. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be studying the Christmas hymn From East to West in the first hour with Pastor Will Whedon. Then it's part three of our series on the Holy Family with the late Dr. Lewis Brighton. Today we'll discuss marriage vows. Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. He's host of the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you one more time here.
Why is this hymn, From East to West, a somewhat obscure Christmas hymn?
Well, you know, when you're dealing with Christmas hymns, you have, first of all, like a bajillion of them, right? You know, there's nothing that seems to have inspired the poet and the composer quite so much as the mystery of Christmas. And so there just is a plethora of hymns. And then you also have the fact that this hymn originally was coupled with its original Gregorian tune, which is, how do we put it? To modern ears, it can sound a little daunting, maybe. It just doesn't trip off the tongue the same way that some of the other Christmas hymns do. And because of that, I think it tended to get a little bit sidelined in the corpus of the church's hymnody, which is a shame because it really is a great one. And I should point out that is not true so much for like German Christianity as it is for English Christianity. In Germany, Christum wir sollen loben schon was a very popular hymn.
What are its origins?
Okay, Luther the monk learned to sing this thing in the morning office, Matins or Lauds for Christmas Day, but it dates way, way, way back. It's written by Caelius Sedulius, who is thought to have died maybe sometime around the middle of the 5th century, so about 450 or so. We really don't know much about the poor guy's life, but his poetry was enormously popular throughout the Middle Ages and into modern times. Even his first name, Caelius, is only given relatively late in the tradition. He was supposed to be a priest, and he served as a cantor for the liturgy, and his most famous work is Carmen Paschale, or Easter Hymn. It is an elaboration of the story given in the Four Gospels. And one of the cool things about his poetry is he just can't stop inserting emotional reactions into the events as they happen, which, you know, we moderns tend to really enjoy that too. So, for example, he puts in the story of the Incarnation, the unmarried virgin looks with wonder at her swollen belly and rejoices. She is to bear her own creator. What we're going to hear and meditate on today, it's actually only a little tiny section of Sedulius's original. And what he did here was write an acrostic poem composed in iambic tetrameter, each stanza beginning with the successive letter of the alphabet. Hence, Ah, Solis, Ortus, Cardine was the first one. And it went all the way through Z and told the whole life of Christ. Get it? You know, Alpha and Omega, if you will, A to Z. He's going to do Christ, the whole life of Christ from A to Z. By the Middle Ages, it became customary to lift the first seven stanzas of the hymn at Christmas time and to sing it in the morning office, what we normally call matins, but I mean, remember, our matins is a conflation of matins and lauds. So it was actually medieval lauds with the rising of the sun, which the hymn, by the way, references. So Luther loved it. He valued this hymn. It was one of his earliest hymns to put into German, translating it to German, probably in 1523. And maybe even he got it done in time for Christmas that year. And he did what you would expect. He translated the A to G stanzas. But then he noted that the hymn didn't end with the doxology. And so he slapped the doxology onto it that references the incarnation too. So he originally had then 8 stanzas. Sedulius's original just didn't have a doxology because it kept all the way going through the life of Christ. And that's sort of the history of the text per se. When the Lutheran service book came out, the thinking was, you know, this is a worthy hymn that's just not being sung. Can we give it a tune that the people like to sing so that maybe it'll get sung more? Well, they gave it one of the most popular Lutheran tunes, Von Himmel Hoch, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, the thing that Luther would write many, many years later for his children's hymn. And I think it's actually worked because I think I've heard it sung in more places and in greater use than it had with the very lovely but more difficult old Gregorian tune. It had a lot of those elided phrases, right? So it was harder to know exactly where you were supposed to go with the words.
What about its biblical roots?
Well, boy, there's so much. Obviously, whenever you're dealing with any of the Christmas hymns, we say, well, of course, Luke and Matthew. Yes, yes, yes. But I do think this one is also rooted specifically in Malachi, in the fact that there's going to be an offering that's going to be brought from east to west. We'll talk about that when we do the first stanza. And also in Malachi at the chapter 4, that the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And so recognizing how the sun forms a type of Christ himself who, rising from the east, shines forth unto the west.
Let's hear the first stanza of From East to West. From east to west, from shore to shore, let every heart awake and sing the holy child whom Mary bore, the Christ, the everlasting King. So we start with this expansive description of the whole world. How else do you say it?
No matter where you are, and no matter who you are summoned to enter into the joy of this day. So from east to west, from shore to shore, certainly calls to mind Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun, east, to its setting, west, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And all of a sudden, all of that, which you just hear, addressed to Yahweh in the psalm, you're realizing it's addressed to the baby in the manger. And similarly then, as I mentioned a second ago, the great prophecy from Malachi 1. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. And let every tongue awake and sing. So this is sung at the office of lauds, and earlier in the middle of the night at matins, the monks would have heard, and Luther would have remembered, the homily by Pope St. Leo the Great that's read during the liturgy. I have commented on it in one of the earlier hymn studies. Let me read just a little further to get the every tongue awake and singing. All men have an equal part in the great reason why we are joyful. For our Lord, who is the destroyer of sin and death, finding that all are bound under condemnation, is come to make all free. Rejoice if you're a saint, you're drawing near your crown. Rejoice if you're a sinner, for your Savior offers you pardon. If you're a pagan, rejoice, for God calls you to life. Isn't that just gorgeous? He won't let anyone get away with saying that the joy of Christmas just isn't for me. He's like, nope. It is for us all. And all that joy, it's all wrapped up in that tiny package that Mary delivered on Christmas. In that tiny baby, you actually gaze on the face of Christ, the everlasting King. And that, of course, evokes the words of the angel to the Virgin about how her son was going to actually possess David's throne and sit on it and reign in his kingdom forever. Endless years.
I hear an allusion to Luke 1:35, the Annunciation, when the hymn writer here refers to the Holy Child, the Holy One to be born of you, says the angel.
That holy thing which shall be born of you. Yeah. It's an amazing statement. And he will be called the Son of God, and called because that's who he in fact is, the Holy One. Like we sing in the Gloria, Thou only art holy. Thou only art the Lord. Thou only, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and the glory of God the Father.
Also, to refer to him as the Holy Child whom Mary bore does, in some sense, evoke the title that Mary has borne in the church, the bearer of God.
Yeah, Theotokos. Yeah, she is. She is indeed the Theotokos, the bearer of God, because the one that she gave birth to is God in the flesh. And once we see that, you realize why the church could just stand there and just stare at the manger, at the child, and you're like, this is absolutely astounding and joy beyond words.
Why is it important that we herald the birth here as a royal birth? This is the birth of Christ, the everlasting King.
Well, he has come to be king, and he's going to set up his throne, as we know. Now, where Herod thought it was going to be set up in Jerusalem, and so fearing that he might try to be his replacement. Remember, he was ready to kill the baby. In fact, killed a whole bunch of other people instead. He actually comes to set up his throne inside of the hearts and lives of his people. He wants to reign as our king from the inside, so that his very will becomes our will. That what he wants us to do, that is our joy to do.
And finally here, before we take a break, that he reigns in this hidden way, not just in his incarnation, but even now, in his church, in the hearts of his people. No one, just looking at the world around us, with human eyes, would possibly conclude that Christ is reigning on his throne.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things that the writer to the Hebrews loves to sort of play with, is this idea that, we don't see everything subject to him, but it is. I mean, that's on the day of the revealing of Jesus Christ. That's the day that we're going to see it all. What's really weird is how those in whose heart he actually sits as king, I just read this in C.S. Lewis this morning. It was a great statement. He says, isn't it, it's almost like a secret club, and it's kind of fun when you find another. He says, you almost instinctively recognize another one. They may not have even the 100% same confession that you do, but you can tell if Christ is the king in their lives because of the way that they are. It's just really, he's having trouble trying to define what that is, but it's what happens when there's faith that actually has Christ sitting on the throne. The person becomes a little bit odd, a little bit different, and we recognize that in each other.
We're studying the Christmas hymn from east to west. On the other side of the break, stanza 2, Behold, the world's creator wears the form and fashion of a slave. Our very flesh, our maker shares, his fallen creatures all to save. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, lutheranpublicradio.org.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Sanctifying your daily errands with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Stanza 2 of the Christmas hymn From East to West. We're studying it with Pastor Will Whedon. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Where would you take us with this stanza, Will?
Well, first thing I want to note on that last line, his fallen creatures all to save. Ellerton, when he translated Luther's hymn, originally had it there, his fallen creature man to save. Part of this weird thing that happened here is like this phobia to the word man. That people are afraid, oh my goodness, people will hear that as excluding women or whatever. I mean, it was to save us all, right? But of course, man is that same way that works in English is the way it originally worked in Latin and, you know, even in Greek. So worth pointing out. The world's creator, the little baby that you gaze on in the manger on Mary's lap, that's the one who created and sustained all things. Of course, you think of John 1, right? You know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. But it's not just a theme of John. St. Paul also really confessed this very clearly. Listen to these words from Colossians 1. For by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. You know, what holds the atoms together? Jesus. Then Hebrews 1, you know, of the Son, he says, you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth at the beginning. The heavens are the works of your hands. So sometimes when we catechetically teach, we make this too simple, and we talk about God the Father as creator, and God the Son as redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit as sanctifier, and we're not paying attention to the way that the scripture actually speaks and the way that our hymns and liturgy speak that would teach us most certainly the Son himself is also to be confessed as creator. And what a creator. He comes to wear the, quote, form and fashion of a slave. And both of those words, form and fashion, are lifted from Philippians chapter 2, one of the most important passages in the entirety of the New Testament dealing with our Lord Jesus Christ, what we normally call the state of humiliation, and then, of course, the state of exaltation, who, being in the form of God, did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, poured himself out, taking the form of a servant. So form of God to the form of a servant, doulos, slave, right? And being found in human fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross.
We need to focus a little bit on those two words, if we could, form and fashion, mm-hmm. because they have a connotation in our usage of them today as merely superficial.
Mm-hmm.
That is, he took the form of a servant. He wasn't really a servant. He just appeared to be. And there's a little docetism in our way of hearing those two words that Paul uses.
Yeah, we need to have that cleansed out of us. I mean, clearly, to be in the form, it meant to be to suitably appear according to the state one is in. So suitably as God, he is God. So yes, he has a divine glory. That is the divine glory of God, his form. And similarly with fashion, and fashion as a man does not mean he just appeared to be a man. It meant he appeared as a real man. So don't hear either of the words as not actually connecting to reality. Both of them connect to reality. But the fact that he lays aside the one form, the use of the one form to take up the other form, this is so beautiful. It's so that he doesn't bowl us over with his unbridled glory. I mean, think about it. John laid in his bosom at the Last Supper, right? Laying there beside him. But when John sees the glory unbridled in Revelation chapter 1, what does he do? He face plants himself on the ground in front of him, terrified. Similarly, Saul. What happens when Saul all of a sudden sees Jesus of Nazareth outside of Damascus? I mean, he falls off his horse onto the ground with his eyes blinded by the glory. For 3 days, he couldn't see. So he wears the form and fashion of a slave. That is, he comes to you in such a way that he doesn't freak you out. He comes to you as an ordinary Joe, if I can put it that way. Our very flesh, our maker shares. That calls John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, glorious of the only begotten of the Father. But why does he do it all? Why does the maker of all don human flesh and blood and take a true human nature into the unity of his divine person? What's the purpose of it all? His fallen creature man to save. Yeah, I really wish we'd not monkeyed with Ellerton's original there. It echoes Hebrews 2. Listen to these words. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Why does he take on flesh and blood? So that he can make propitiation, so he can offer it back to the Father in its pureness and holiness, and thus wipe out sin for the entire race.
In the course of our hymn studies during this Christmas time, you have made the point repeatedly, and you did just a moment ago, that he lays aside the use of his divinity to some degree and not lays aside his divinity.
Right.
And I think I also heard you say that in no way is his divinity diminished in any way whatsoever by taking into himself a human nature as well as a divine nature. Why is that so important? Why did theologians, the stuff we had to learn in seminary, why did they hash through this relationship, this, we used to say, communication of attributes back and forth between the divine and human natures so carefully to avoid all that confusion? What was at stake?
Well, what's at stake is what right now, does he have a human nature, a true human nature? Yes. Is that human nature in any way constrained by the limits of humanity? No. right? I mean, the point is right now at the right hand of God, I'm going to quote Dr. Nagel there, you know, there's a man with shins so real they'd bruise if you kicked them, right? Real flesh and blood. And yet it's at the right hand of God. It's ruling all things. It has all power and all authority. And so it was very, very important that we recognize that it's not that some of his divinity has to be left off for him to assume humanity into himself. He assumes the human nature into himself and into the unity of his divine person. And he does this in such a way that in no way has the divinity been diminished at all. It's so that the humanity might be exalted. What happened to his humanity there to him is not just for him. It's for us. He's become this new creature for us. I mean, he takes our humanity through suffering, death, and resurrection to a glorification so that's the path we can walk with him.
Is it, in at least in some way, apropos to think of the baby in the manger as exercising this divine restraint on our behalf?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
holding back
the whole time. He holds back so that he does not want to absolutely freak us out. He does have these moments where he will allow minor freakouts. I mean, do you remember he walked across the water to them? That was a little bit of a freak out. He tells the wind and waves, shush, and they stop. And that was a bit of a freak out. Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. Certainly the Mount of Transfiguration, where the glory is just beaming from his body and his clothes. A little bit of a freak out. But he says throughout all of that, do not be afraid. This is really who I am. I am the divine son, and I have come into human flesh to save that human flesh, yours and mine. He comes to bring it through. How beautiful is that?
We're talking about the hymn From East to West. It's a Christmas hymn. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest, host of the daily short form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can listen to and subscribe to Pastor Wheaton's daily 15-minute Bible study at thewordendures.org, thewordendures.org. Stanza 3 on the other side of the break. For this how wondrously he wrought. A maiden in her lowly place became in ways beyond all thought the chosen vessel of his grace.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Can you ever hear too much good news? Especially in challenging times, we need to hear how God is working through His church to bring truth, goodness, and beauty to the world. Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Take a break from cable news and find refreshment at interesttime.org, where you can read all about what's happening in places like St. Mark Lutheran Church and School in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone that needs a good boost. Again, that's interesttime.org.
In the Confession of Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. And three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The world is filled with darkness now. It's maybe darker than it's ever been before.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Adam Kuntz.
The reason to come to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and to study to be a pastor is so that the light of Christ can shine that much more brightly. It's not a time for retreat. It's not a time for hiding. It's a time to hear the Lord's call and to come out and to serve Him, to shine His light into very dark places in people's souls, in people's lives, throughout our nation and throughout the world.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155. That's the third stanza of the hymn that we're studying with Pastor Will Whedon, From East to West. It sounds like he's, and I've never found this in any other Christmas hymn, sounds like he's talking about the creation of Mary, that he made Mary to be his chosen vessel.
Well, yeah, there is certainly a sense that that can run through this. And Luther particularly believed that there was a sanctification that happened to the Virgin Mary. The very moment that the Holy Spirit overshadows you is literally, he pictures this as the wiping of sin out of her at that moment. I mean, she's born and conceived with original sin like everybody else, but he formed a pure and chosen vessel for himself in that moment, and may very well be. What I find as I'm reading through this is the, for this, you know, to accomplish this.
To save. It's
throwing you back to what you just had, you know, to make this salvation happen, to make this propitiation, to destroy the work of the devil. Would you look at how wondrously he wrought? In other words, you need to stand back and just think about this and be in awe before how he chose to do this great deed. How was he going to do it? Whoa, a maiden in her lowly place. She herself sings a Magnificat. He hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden, became in ways beyond all thought, back to Isaiah 7, the challenge to Ahaz, you know, ask for a sign, let it be as high as the heavens, let it be as deep as Sheol, sign beyond all thought. And the astounding sign, Mary becomes, quote, the chosen vessel of his grace. Now, that's an allusion to the greeting of the angel. You remember that Gabriel greeted the Virgin with, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. At least that's the traditional translation of the salutation. Mary is the chosen vessel holding God's grace, like a chalice holds the holy blood, because in her womb is the one who is full of grace and truth. Mary being full of grace is such because she is going to be filled with Christ. And so Elizabeth's great astonishment when she walks in the door, remember, blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me as soon as the baby in my womb heard your voice? He leapt for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was promised to her from the Lord. Now, is it permitted to add in here that there are some stanzas that went AWOL that need to be put back in? Okay. My good friend, Pastor Mark, he always reminds me that these long hymns do not suffer from being shortened. but I always think they do. So what we're missing is, she bowed her to the angel's word, declaring what the Father willed, and suddenly the promised Lord, that pure and hallowed temple filled. Suddenly. Get that? You know, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Huh. So Mary's body becomes his temple. He suddenly comes when she says, you know, let it be to me according to your word. And this from Luther via Massey, because Aylerton in his translation omits the entire stanza. The noble mother bore a son, for so did Gabriel's message run, whom John confessed and leapt with joy, ere yet the mother knew her boy. So, I mean, pulling all of Luke 1 into the hymn as well, that's gone. And then, he shrank not from the oxen's stall, he lay within a manger bed, and whose bounty feedeth all, at Mary's breast himself was fed. Which is such a beautiful picture, you know, the one who's giving food to every critter in the world, here he himself takes nourishment from his mother's breasts, which he himself had filled with milk.
Stanza 4 of From East to West. And while the angels in the sky sang praise above the silent field to shepherds poor, the Lord Most High, the one great shepherd, was revealed. There's a lot of stuff in this one, isn't there?
Yeah. Now, so now you're solidly in Luke 2, right? And he's inviting you to think, so why did he bother talking to shepherds in the first place? Well, you know, Luke has given us so much of the Christmas story, the angels singing over the silent fields, and silent because the shepherds are absolutely in awe, overcome by what they're hearing and seeing and experiencing as heaven is cracked open above their heads and this glorious light of the kingdom shines down upon them. And they looked with astonished eyes into the very love that created and fills and rules this whole universe. And they hear the music that floats down from on high. And the angels, man, they're always praising. You know, think about it. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Psalm 148. But now, look at the one they're praising. He's like, oh my goodness, there he is. Would you look at that? Their awe has deepened and their praises have grown. But why shepherds? Why shepherds? Not just so little Johnny can dress up and act the part so sweetly come Christmas Eve. Not just for Linus to utter his famous lines. No. To shepherds, because they're his folk. They're his kind of people. He's one of them. The great good shepherd. The baby. Well, he's not just the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's also the shepherd who comes to lay down his life for the sheep. And you remember how John he mixes the metaphors with glee in Revelation. And the Lamb, who is in the center of the throne, will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away tears from every eye. So the shepherds, they tend their flocks, and the great good shepherd, he tends his flock. We are his people. We are the flock of his pasture. And that whole image, remember, it sparked the entire hymn by itself by Fred Janzow. Sadly, not in our current book, but, you know, from shepherding of stars that gaze toward heavenly fields of light, I come with tidings to amaze you watchers in the night, you watchers in the night. He shepherds from this thistle place, the flock by thickets torn. His wounded hands heal all our race, sore wounded by the thorn, sore wounded by the thorn. I mean, just playing with that beautiful image of he comes as the shepherd among us to be the one who will, in fact, be injured and damaged and hurt and killed so that his sheep might live.
We can't forget Hebrews 13, the God of peace who brought again from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep.
Yeah.
It's just tossed in there. It's really not even necessary in that thing, but he refers to him as the great shepherd of the sheep.
Yeah. He doesn't want us to miss at all that in that baby, we're looking at Psalm 23 come down to earth. I mean, the Lord who is your shepherd, this is him. And by the way, that ties back to King, because for Jeremiah, for all the Hebrew prophets, I mean, the idea of a shepherd was connected intimately to the idea of the king. So that even in the Vulgate translation of Psalm 23, it literally begins, the Lord rules me. You know, the Lord is my king. That's how it begins, for the Lord is my shepherd.
And the picture of God with his flock at Sinai, and like a shepherd, he leads them through this wilderness. Like a shepherd, he leads them out. You know, this, when I hear Jesus talk about it, he lead them out, I think Exodus.
pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, right? Yeah, yeah. And providing for them along the way, you know, miraculous food as they journey along. Most certainly, all of it rings in. And of course, Jesus picks the whole thing up in John 10 and announces, well, you know, that's me. I'm the good shepherd. I'm good, the kalon, you know, I mean, I'm beautiful because I lay down my life for my sheep, which is, of course, as soon as you hear it, you're like, we're so used to hearing it. We no longer stop and go, no, wait a minute, that's backwards. I mean, shepherds keep sheep so that the sheep lay down their lives for the shepherds. I mean, if you stop and think about it, that's how things normally work, right? You keep the sheep so that you can eat them and so that you can, of course, benefit from them. And he's like, oh no, it's actually backwards for me. I'm doing it so that I can give them eternal life.
We are studying the Christmas hymn From East to West with Pastor Will Whedon. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hand. And he is host of the daily short form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Here's an email that we received from Holly, who lives in Japan. I'm writing to express my appreciation in particular for your weekly segments on the lectionary readings for each Sunday. I live abroad currently and have limited access to Lutheran church services, so following the lectionary and being able to hear a discussion of the readings by a Lutheran pastor every week is a great blessing to me. I enjoy many of your other segments as well. Thanks for the work you do, from a thankful listener in Japan. Please support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a year-end tax-deductible gift. For a year-end donation of $300 or more, we'll send you a recording of all 15 hymns of the day for Advent and Christmas, and a recording of the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. You can contribute by check, make your check payable, to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. at the end of the year. On the other side of the break, all glory for this blessed morn to God the Father ever be. All praise to you, O Virgin born, the Holy Ghost eternally. If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please make a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for including Issues Etc. in your year-end giving.
This is a message for pastors and lay leaders of Missouri Synod congregations. As we enter the last quarter of 2020, how are you doing and how's your church doing? What has the COVID lockdown done to your attendance and giving? In 25% of our churches, giving's actually gone up. So why are some churches struggling and others thriving? Here at LCMS Stewardship and the whole Office of National Mission Team, we have answers and we have help for you and your church today. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Quality, quantity, qualified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Would you like to spend more time in God's Word this new year? Does your tight schedule prevent you from sitting down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider. The word of the Lord endures forever.
The final stanza of the Christmas hymn From East to West. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. Our guest is Pastor Will Whedon. This is a real Christmas doxology, isn't it?
It is. It is. And like I said, this is Luther's. I mean, so he just, you know, puts this, appends this to the end of the hymn by Sedulius. And, well, not the end, but, you know, the end of the Christmas section by Sedulius. And isn't it appropriate that you know, he swings us up to doxology? I mean, it's got to land there. He started out by summoning us to doxology from east to west, from shore to shore. Let every heart awake and sing this child. And now he's going to be like, okay, this child, we need to give all glory to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And notice that the Son, of course, has, as you pointed out, the virgin-born reference, the Son, the virgin-born. And so all glory for this blessed morn. Kind of a contrast to, you know, Job cursing the day of his birth. And here it's like, no, okay, maybe the day of our birth is cursed in the sense that we are brought forth in sin. We have sorrow in our life, but here this child is born in whom there is no sin and who there is no sorrow. So the church blesses God for this morn that saw Mary's babe first see the light of day. And she summons everybody to join in that praise. So, I mean, sort of, you picture it from from the lovely chanting of the monks behind their cloistered walls, this ancient hymn of Sedulius via Luther into German and via Ehlerton, who's done many other hymns besides this in English, comes just not to, it's like this joy is too big to let the monks have by themselves. This needs to ring out into the whole congregation. The great Robin Lever, He riffed on this phrase. He even wrote a whole book on this phrase, a phrase that Luther threw into the German Mass, where after the gospel, the whole congregation sings. Well, Luther bit was, you know, after the gospel reading is read, then everybody joins in singing, "We all believe in one true God." But Lever said, you know what? He said something there that was more profound than he realized. Once the song moves into the hearts of God's people, everybody's got to get in on this. And so this entire hymn is about everybody getting in on the hymn of praise to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the gift of the Son into our flesh from the Holy Virgin.
It's akin to preaching, yeah, isn't it? Because preaching isn't optional. It's a command. It's the church's primary task is to speak the word. But that singing is an outgrowth of that preaching. It is, after all, what we're going to be doing for all eternity.
Yeah, I mean, and they're so bound together. It's hard for us to picture this in our day and age, but I mean, if you remember, the way that the liturgy used to run, you didn't have anything that was really spoken until the sermon. I mean, even the readings were sung. Everything was music. It was all music in the church. It was all the house of Tom Bombadil, right? where singing is the most natural thing in the world. I love Tolkien's insight into that. It's like, that is exactly the way it is in the church. You forget that you're even singing because it's the joy that has so filled your heart. You just can't not be doing it.
Let's hear the entire Christmas hymn from east to west.
Amen.
the Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the Christmas hymn From East to West. Pastor Whedon, your final thoughts.
Doesn't matter where you are, no matter where you are in this world, from east to west, from shore to shore, every heart has a share in this joy. Because the Holy Child that Mary bore, the Christ, the everlasting King, is your creator, the world's creator, and he's come among us wearing the forbid fashion of a slave to save our sorry hides. And he did it in such an incredibly awesome way by taking that maiden in her lowly place and making her be the chosen vessel of his grace, Christ being his grace in her womb. And then when you realize all that he did that way, you cannot not join in the angels' song as they sing their Gloria above the field. And you realize, wow, he, the great good shepherd, came among us. He came among us so that he might bring us safely into the heavenly fold, to the heavenly pasture. And for all of this, we give him this glory and praise to God the Father, God the Son, the Virgin born, and God the Holy Ghost eternally. The hymn calls us into what life itself is here for, praising the glorious and most blessed Trinity.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can purchase his books by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Will, thank you very much.
Hey, man, thank you. I've had a blast doing these studies with you.
In the next hour, it's our series with the late Dr. Lewis Brighton on the Holy Family. Today, marriage vows. It begins in an obscure place, Bethlehem, not well-known, certainly not big and flashy. Obscure parents, unknown to the world. The celebration of the angels is certainly big and flashy, but it is a celebration that they hold with mere shepherds. But the celebration of Christmas begun that night, Christ's birth into this world, the Savior is born to us, has spread, it has grown, it is no longer obscure, it is now front and center, and it is driving forward in history, into the future, into eternity, where we will praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for His salvation in Jesus Christ eternally. I'm Todd Wilkin, more Issues Etc. after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
He is a friend, obey.
historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
This is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio, with a message for listeners in the Mountain and Pacific time zones. We pledge to have Issues Etc. podcasts posted daily, no later than 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific. This will allow you to download and listen to the latest Issues Etc. podcast weekdays during your evening commute. Again, if you live in the Mountain or Pacific time zone, download Issues Etc. before you leave work and listen during your drive home.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.